In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is manager Jacob. Jacob, what are
Sarah.
You? I was like waiting for like the response back. What are you drinking or eating?
I'm
this
going
week?
With Which eating
you,
this week.
You normally
Sarah.
Go. I don't know what. Since I edit these episodes, I was looking back. I almost always go with drinking. And you almost always go with eating.
I noticed that today because I was going to write down what I've been drinking, but it's kind of been the same. I'm going to bring back a different one for an upcoming episode because I have to do a trial. You'll know when it happens, okay. But I'll have a drinking one.
Everyone's on the edge of their seats.
I know. This week though, listen, this is coming out, I think at the end of November, right? Mm-hmm. And it is cold in Toronto now.
It's very chilly.
It's
yes.
chilly.
Scarf season.
It's scarf. I walked in with a scarf.
Yep. Same.
Come on. And you know what goes hand in hand with scarves?
I don't know what you're going to tell me.
You walk into the grocery store, they put out right in front of you around this time of year, clementines. Okay. A huge clementine guy. If I could...
You know, when I put on a scarf, I think, this means it's clementine season.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, scarf season and clementine season are synonymous. Like, they have to go hand in hand.
Did you ever used to sell them, like, for school?
Clementines?
Was that not a thing you did growing
up? No, we sold
up?
Chocolate.
Oh, we did chocolate, but then sometimes hockey, you know, like
you
sports,
sold
athletics.
You clementines? Yeah, like individually?
Like crates of clementines. Not individual clementines.
You're walking around the sidewalk?
No,
with
like you could pre-order crates of clementines.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Grapefruit and oranges.
Fruit? Really?
Like fruit. I don't know where it comes from.
No, we did chocolate. We did like hazelnut chocolate. And there was this one, we raised it for like raising money for like soccer.
Yeah.
And one family's golden retriever ate like 16 chocolate bars, and they were really nervous for a while if their dog was going to be okay. Luckily, the dog was okay, but like maybe that's why selling fruit's important, because if a dog got a clementine, I think it would be okay.
So you're a big clementine guy? Are you going to like start bringing it to soccer on Thursdays?
Think I'm going to, start splitting them up before I go to a game into individual slices of clementine. Is that what they're called? Pieces? And hand them out at halftime.
I like that.
Also,
like that.
Do you, okay, when you peel a clementine?
I don't eat clementines.
Oh my God. Baked goods clementines. What's next?
I don't
clementines
know.
First. Okay, for anyone listening, then, do you peel in one peel or in a bunch
what,
of chaotic
do you do?
Spots? I do want. I try to go one peel.
You
yeah,
try
it's a little
do.
Challenge for myself.
I like that.
What about you? What are you eating or drinking
Some
this week?
Some people have Wordle. You try to peel a clementine.
you know what's funny is I did Wordle while eating a clementine today.
Oh my God! I guess this is more so where I thought you were going with like the scarf, because like scarf season, cozy vibes means it's soup season, baby. Not clementines. It's
okay.
Soup. We want cozy vibes. My Christmas tree is up. I want to be sitting there just like slurping on some soup.
Sitting around the tree, checking out the presents.
With some bread, with butter to dip in my soup.
Okay, this is big. What kind of soup are we talking about?
Big butternut squash girl.
Ooh.
Big butternut squash. That's like my go-to soup that I will never get sick of.
Cinnamon on top?
No, I hate cinnamon. But Jacob tries this to like, relate to me
no
in any way.
Yeah, I know. This is no longer relatable for me. Okay, so butternut squash.
I'll put like salt on it.
Okay. I love salty soup. And then dip with bread?
Yeah. So like just a classic, like what your mom would do. Take a piece of good old like white bread, put some butter on it, cut it up and just dip it. And it is to die for. If I splurge, I'll get like a sourdough for it. But
I'm
a big soup. And even like I notice at work, like we have, there's a not a cafeteria, a food court. I've made that mistake before. A food court like under like the building, and there's a soup place. And the second it starts to get cold, I go, well, I'm getting soup every day for lunch now. And then they have all the different options too. I'll mix in a broccoli cheddar once in a while.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, other ones. I've been eating a lot of like, there's like potato leek. You ever do
potato
that?
Potato leek is good. A clam chowder is good. I don't trust the one that's in the food court. Well, but
sometimes I have stupid things that happen, or I say stupid things or think stupid things. Mm-hmm. One of them was around clam chowder, or sorry, it was around chowder in general.
Okay.
I thought, this is putting myself on blast, but I went to Seattle once and I didn't have, we went to a chowder spot with a bunch of friends.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm not going to have this. I don't want this, because I was under the impression that all chowder was made with clams and I didn't want that. I was quite old. This is not like a childhood thing.
This is recently that you learned that not all chowder is made with clams?
Maybe like 10 years ago.
Do you not like
ago,
clams then? That's your issue?
Yeah, I'm not a big clam guy. Listen, I'll do mussels. But clams throw me off, and I don't want them in like a chowder form.
Interesting. Yeah, there's lobster chowder. There's tons of chowder you can have. It's usually seafood, though.
Okay, Sarah, what are we watching or reading this week?
This is so embarrassing to admit. Okay, so. Okay.
I just did something embarrassing. You gotta level with me here.
Okay, so. A Court of Thorns and Roses. You know how I'm obsessed now.
Yeah.
That series, I finished it. Now I feel like I have nothing to live for.
Oh.
Besides this podcast and that series, there's not a lot else going on right okay. now. So I was like, what am I going to do? I kept saying I wish it was like a movie or a TV show, because I could just like start from the beginning, right? Like when you binge a show. But then it's like reading it is like a commitment. So I found this girl called Carrie Can Read, and she is a YouTuber who talks about books. She does like breakdowns of every single thing that happens in the book, like chapter by chapter, gives you, so it's like you're watching
a movie,
and she has like all the characters on like a board and points to them, talks.
It's like the after show for the series,
I guess. But it's the whole point. It's like you can watch this so you don't have to read 800 pages of ACOTAR.
Okay, gotcha.
So the whole point is like, if you, example, were like, oh, like Haley, we like the series, but it's not really my vibe, but I want to know what's happening so I can relate to her, you could go watch these 4.5 hour long YouTube videos. So I watched all 5 of them. And
wait, so you invested 20 hours into, where did you have the time over the last week? Since we recorded, you spent an entire day of that time doing this.
Rewatching a book series I already have.
Okay, was it as entertaining to go through that much?
She's so funny. And like, to be honest, it was good. Cause, like,
that's a huge amount of time. Did you skip it? Skip through at least?
It was like, well, I watched it on 1.5 speed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I watch it while working or in the background of life. It's like, it was my new Vanderpump Rules this week.
Okay.
But I
guess if you've already read it, you're kind of, you don't have to be like totally invested 100% of the time,
for sure,
right? You're
getting. I can't explain it other than like, it felt like I was watching a movie of it, because it's like, I'm still hearing it. I'm still like, or an audiobook, I guess. But they were so long. They were 4 hours each, but worth it. Honestly, I would rewatch them.
Okay. Well, maybe send me a link and I'll check it out.
You could. You can watch it at double speed. She's also, Carrie Can Read, like, shout out her. She's like, I didn't know who she was before.
Would you
She's
recommend it to someone who's like interested in maybe starting the books but wants to like see what's going on first?
Yeah, but the issue is like, it's
too many spoilers.
It's not spoiler free. It's literally like, if you don't like reading and you want to know what ACOTAR is, you could watch all these videos and know as much about the series as I do.
Okay.
So it's like for those types of people. Anyway, so you could do that. But if you've also read the books, it's a good little rewatch. Anyways, that's what
okay, that's
I've been
good.
Reading / watching. What about you?
Well, mine is also kind of a summary of a massive amount of time. But I checked out the new series. I only watched the first episode, which is on the dinosaurs. But I checked out the new series on Netflix, Life of Our Planet, or Life on Our Planet, sorry. The one that's like narrated by Morgan Freeman. It's basically like
it,
a planet
cool.
Earthy type thing, but it's going through all of the main events that basically shaped the planet that we live on and who we are and everything else. So the first one was all about dinosaurs. And listen,
how was it?
It was good. It was entertaining. It was also a little spooky.
What's your favorite dinosaur?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think probably like a Brontosaurus.
Mine's a Triceratops.
Oh, really?
Because on Land Before Time, the Triceratops was named Sarah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about the Land Before Time. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know what I'm going to be watching next week then. Speaking of good series.
Yeah, Land Before Time, a classic. A classic.
Okay, that's good.
What are we listening to this week? Are you getting hyped up for your event on Friday? Like, what are
you
listening to?
I am getting hyped up for the event on Friday. This comes out a couple of days before the event, Just Friends. Probably still maybe a couple tickets available. If you want to come, you can check out the link in my bio. I'm just doing like a house music club night.
All of my friends keep going like, oh, you don't like house music. I go, I don't know if I like it because I just don't listen to it. I only listen to Taylor Swift. So I'm going for the experience. So if you want to experience house music for the first time, join me.
If you're looking for a nice approachable place to dance and just have a good time.
That's what I was telling someone. I'm like a pseudo promoter for you. And at work today, I was hyping it up and I was like, it feels like an approachable, because I'm not cool enough. I'm wearing cargo pants, but like, I'm like not cool enough to be going to like a house music thing. Like I just described it as that, obviously. So I'm not cool enough to go on my own. But this, it feels like a safe space because you're hosting it.
Yeah. And it's the first event. Hopefully we'll make it a series. And it's called Just Friends, but it's available to anyone realistically. But we want to make it a place where it feels like you're just dancing, having a good time with friends. That. So that's on Friday.
Sorry, I totally bombarded you. So what are you listening to?
Well, apart from the two guys that I'm throwing it with, Leon Taro and Sugar Jesus, I'm also listening to New West. And we were talking about this just before we started recording the show, that this is like a long way out, but they have a show with The Beaches, Dizzy, and Valley in August of 2024 at Budweiser Stage here in Toronto.
I
want
to be able to go, but I won't be here.
It's like the ultimate. Where are you going to be? It was the Olympics. Oh, true. Okay. Well, we'll all go and I'll FaceTime you.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good.
But it's like four, they're like, I think it's a group of four like singer songwriters from Toronto, New West. Anyway, I had only listened to one song of theirs like a year ago, which I think was Balenciaga's. Really great song, but I started getting into them more this week. I think it was actually after I saw Shannon post
about
the show, actually. Now that I'm thinking about this,
shout out Shannon,
but I dove back in good time. Go check out that song. I'm gonna maybe add it to Jacob's songs to cry to for the fall.
Jacob's songs to cry to,
it's one of my new favorite songs.
Winter now.
True, exactly. But that's what I'm listening to. What about you, Sarah?
What can I say? I am, if anything, but a creature of habit. And I'm not lying when really the only artist I really listen to is Taylor Swift. But I've made a little pivot. I was sleeping on Olivia Rodrigo's new album.
Oh.
Because
how could you?
I don't know why I was sleeping on it for a while, but maybe it's because I didn't get tickets to her show. So I was like resenting it a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I got tickets to her show this week. It was
sold out.
So you're
like, you got
to
get into it.
So now I'm like, oh my God, now I have to like get into the new album. And it's banger. I've just been like, I wasn't listening. I had it like on playlists and stuff, but I wasn't listening to it like a proper album should be consumed.
Yeah.
Now I have been. I get the hype. She's a little rock star. And I'm going to go see her in March, which is really exciting.
Well, she's also tough because she has such bangers. Listen, everyone knows this who listens to the podcast. I'm like a big repeat guy.
Yeah.
She's got repeatable songs. You could listen to them like six times
in a row.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But
the album as a whole, like you're saying, is good as well.
So I only had a few songs like Get Him Back or whatever. That was on my running playlist because it's like very like...
Yeah.
Rocky and whatever. So I'm like fully in another Olivia Rodrigo era, which was great because she's one of my most listened to artists when Sour came out. So I'm guts is great. I finally appreciate it.
And she was just nominated for a couple Grammys, right?
Yeah, I think she has 6 Grammy nominations.
Go off.
I really want to do a full Grammy episode. We'll have to bring Shannon back or something because I have so many opinions on the Grammy nominations.
When are the Grammys?
In February.
Should we go? Should we go to LA and do a Grammys episode?
I mean, go to LA and do a Grammys episode? Maybe. we'll be like 200 feet from the Grammys, probably like in a parking lot, but I'm down.
Also, for anyone listening, shout out your favorite LA creators, interesting people. Maybe we'll tease something
maybe
about that.
Something
Who knows?
Happen. Maybe.
Speaking of creature of habit, somewhere you went.
Speaking of creature of habit, I went back to the Wee Chief, baby. Look, I haven't been back to the... Okay. Despite Halloween doesn't count, I was there for 30 minutes at the end of the night. I've been back to the Wee Chief proper since before summer, because in the summertime, it becomes a way too young, out-of-town crowd, which I'm not a fan of. Everyone's like a 22-year-old baby. Then my bartender's there and my boys at the door told me that, no, like you can come back now. It's like a safe space for older people like me. So then now my friends and I went back. We had a little proper like pre-party girls' night out that the boys ended up joining for, but went back. Chicken and Waffles was performing. I got serenaded by the lead singer because it was like, oh my God, Sarah's back. She's been back in so long. And danced my butt off at the Wee Chief, which is always a good Saturday night in my book.
And this is like a King West bar that's not a King West bar,
correct.
Right?
Correct. It's the only one on King West that I know of that has live music.
Yeah.
It's Toronto's oldest bar and it's good times and good vibes. And if you're like, I don't want to pay cover, it's $10 cover, but all the money goes to the band. That's why the cover's worth it. And that's why we love the Wee Chief. Long live.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip, actually.
Because I think people think like, oh, why am I paying cover? It's just because the money goes to the band.
Hello, we're paying musicians.
Exactly. Supporting artists, supporting local. Anyways, what about you?
That's big. Okay, I'm shouting out another East End spot, but it doesn't have to be an East End spot. I love Pilot Coffee over here.
They just opened one in the Well by me.
Oh, did they really?
No. Propeller Coffee, never mind, ignore me.
Okay, well, shout out Propeller as well. You know, we're not here to
discriminate. You can understand why I'd get confused though between Pilot and Propeller.
They're pretty close. We got peas, we got coffee shops,
and they both have to do with airplanes.
Oh wow, that's true. Okay, yeah, that is more than just peas. Okay, I'm not on my game.
Pilot Coffee.
Yeah, Pilot's great. I've been going there a little bit more frequently as of late, and you know who I didn't say hello or anything, but I ran into Bobby Webster, GM of the Toronto Raptors, at Pilot. So clearly he's an East Ender. Shout out the East End. I let him do his thing. I desperately wanted to go over and just like congratulate him on getting Grady Dick because I'm just a huge Grady Dick fan, our new rookie.
Bobby's a good guy though. He would have been totally fine if you went up to him.
You know what's funny is he sat there and maybe I shouldn't say this, but he was just eating his muffin and watching TikToks. For like 15 minutes, just enjoying his morning.
I love that.
So shout out Bobby and shout out Pilot Coffee. But what I was going to say is just like, this is a shout out for people to go and just like invest time in their neighborhood. That's what I'm trying to do a little bit more recently is to just basically check out the spots that are local around me. You know, recently a couple have closed. We don't necessarily want that to happen. We would rather keep our neighborhood spots, mm-hmm. especially the ones we like, open. So
long live the East End. Jacob's going to keep it open.
And everything. Long live all of your neighborhoods too. Go out and check out your local coffee shop.
Check out your local coffee shop. This has been a PSA. Last, but certainly not least, what's something you did?
Okay, this is a wild one for me, Sarah. You know, I've been talking about the cottage build that I'm doing with my brother. And we're kind of getting to the stage where things are progressing to the point where we're like, okay, now that it's going to be done-ish mm-hmm. in a few months. We're like, now we have to get stuff to put in this, which is a wild thing to experience because you're not just like moving from one place to another. You're like getting new stuff to fill in there. And I'm like, whoa, pots and pans.
Good thing you have an absurd amount of chairs, though.
Okay, this is what I said. I said to Ben, my brother, and then my sister-in-law, Amanda, I was like, guys, we don't have to worry about chairs because I have all the chairs ready to go.
Like, I've got it.
But we do have to get pots and pans. And then I saw this statistic that I wanted to share that was apparently the LA Times. Says,
whoa,
the average household has 300,000 objects in their home. Now we're talking individual sheets of paper would count as an individual object, right? But 300,000 things.
Individuals? I don't believe that. That's too many.
See, I didn't believe this either, but a lot of people were reporting this and I was like, that's tough. And then I started to make some decisions around pots and pans and it's all of a sudden one pots and pans set is like you got your lids and then you got your spoons that go with it and you got all the stuff and it adds up. So it's stressing me out a little bit.
So if anybody wants to send Jacob some pots and pans.
Well, no, I'm covered on the pots and pans, but literally anything else that goes into a house, come my way.
He has 3,000 objects that he needs to fill. So anything else, send it Jacob's way.
Yeah, honestly, I'll take it. Take anything. Sarah, something that you did this week.
I went into Christmas mode.
Tease a second ago that you have your Christmas tree up.
I do have my Christmas tree up. I put up my Christmas tree. I put up some garland. I put up my little, I don't have a mantle because I live in a condo, but on my TV stand, hung my little stocking. I got a Christmas themed candle. And then yesterday I was like, what else should I do than watch Christmas movies? So I watched two.
What'd you watch?
One of them is called Xmas. It's got Leighton Meester and who's the other? Oh, Robbie Amell. I love Robbie Amell. But that movie was a flop. I did not like it. I barely paid attention. I just made bracelets the entire time. Second one I watched, I've already watched before. Something from Tiffany's is amazing. It's got Zoe Deutsch in it and this very attractive man whose name I do not know, but he's beautiful to look at. And it's a great movie. Okay, so highly recommend. One dud, one. Yay.
I've never seen either of these, so I'm going to take the good one.
The good one. You should watch something from Tiffany's. It's very good. It's set in New York. You'd love it. It's vibey.
Okay.
And anyways, so I went full Christmas mode. I even wore like a little ho-ho-ho sweater. So Christmas has officially started. I announced it. It's Christmas season.
Do you do stockings still? Like, do you fill a stocking?
Like my parents says, yeah.
Yeah?
Ugh, yeah.
I wish.
You don't?
No.
Just bring it back. You're about to have a cottage. You can do whatever you want.
This is true.
That can add to your 300,000 items that you need.
Oh, God. Think about how many items go into a stocking. Stress me out.
From being a top performing instructor at SoulCycle to running her own fitness empire through her brand, Live Sweaty, our next guest shares her life online with a dedicated audience who are just as obsessed with fitness, fashion, travel, and a little chaos as she is. From spending months in Bali to running park sweats, I've loved following this guest's journey, and coming from someone who has done her workouts and felt like I wanted to die, she does live up the name. Live Sweaty. So excited that we can finally have her in Canada long enough to actually make this podcast happen. Please welcome to Talking Fast, Liv.
Yay.
I know, finally. I did the first
park. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you for coming. I did Liv's first, well, it was her last park sweat of the year. It was my first park sweat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to like be a little hungover and hide in the back with Jacqueline. No, and she goes, oh, there's a spot right up
right there. Come on in.
She goes, come on. And I was like, shit, I've avoided these all summer. I had to go.
We have to get you to a sweat.
I'll come.
Yeah, seriously.
And like, this is me thinking that I was more fit. I'm like, oh, I've been doing F45. I'm fine. No. This
is like sneaky the way it creeps up on you.
And there's like no hiding because like you're like on the whole time and like calling out names and someone can never remember names. Like, I'm very impressed by that.
Thank you.
Did you like always know you want to do your own fitness thing after SoulCycle, or what was that like journey from there to your own brand?
I think the beauty of SoulCycle is you kind of, and really when you're an instructor anywhere, you have to make the business your own in order to succeed as an instructor. Because I feel like everybody has a different way of teaching, and you know, they kind of give you the ingredients, but then it's up to you how you want to, you know, what your brand is, what kind of music you're going to play, what your energy is going to be in the room. So I think I had a lot of creativity with my time at SoulCycle, which really helped me kind of flow into doing my own thing very naturally. It didn't really feel like very much change. And I think that also having that same like investment in my community and in my guests that took my class, that's why when I did venture out and do my own thing, it was like everybody's still coming with me. And it was like really a really nice transition. And I think, I mean, in so many areas of life, you invest in the people that invest in you, and that just comes back when you know you do leave a place. They're like, well, we still love the way you teach. We love your vibe. We love your energy. So that's been a really pretty like seamless transition aside from all of the extra work that I now have to do.
So was fitness like always something? Because I know like in another life you were a flight attendant.
I was a flight attendant.
And then so were you doing flight attendant and SoulCycle at the same time?
There was a time where I was doing like four jobs at once. Yes. I think when I was at SoulCycle, when I was a flight attendant before SoulCycle, which I kind of also fell into that job as well. I've always loved traveling, always kind of spent all of my savings leaving and exploring. And I had a girlfriend that reached out to me being like, Air Canada's hiring and I'm going to apply. And I was like, she was like, you should do it. Like, it's going to be so fun. We can travel. And I was like, okay, girly, let's do it. And I got the job, and it just, I think I got in at a really good time too. I was pretty young. I was 21 and it was a good time. You know, I didn't have kids and things at home, where I think as you get older in that industry, it's tough because you're never really home. But it was kind of the perfect time in my life to do it because I was still living at home. So, you know, it was fine to be never home and just be able to travel whenever without having to worry about like rent and all of that. And then from there, I kind of got, I've always been into fitness. I actually started going to F45 like when there was only one in Liberty Village.
Oh my God.
And there was only one in Canada at that time too, which is crazy. And I loved group fitness. I grew up doing like all group, like soccer, competitive dance, gymnastics, and university. I did cheer. So always like team group team-based mentality. And then, I started going to SoulCycle many, many years ago, actually, when I was dating a man out there, and we didn't have it in Canada, and I loved it. I feel like it reminded me of dance because it was like to the beat, to the, which my workouts now are also to the beat. And it kind of was like a combination of like all the things I love to do. You get to like curate a playlist, you get to motivate people, you get to get extra sweaty, and you also get to be up there being like silly on stage, which I feel like the competitive dancer in me like love. So I was doing I was a flight attendant, then I was doing SoulCycle at the same time, which is also kind of how I shifted into doing content creation, because I think I was doing a lot of things that people like to see. Like I was traveling a ton, and I was teaching all these fitness classes and kind of sharing the chaos of doing that. and I was starting to do content creation, and I was actually head of partnerships at 437 at the time, which was,
oh my God,
just a million things at once.
You worked at 437?
I was like one of their, like the first hire.
I feel like so many, there's also other people that have been on this podcast. There's like multiple people have been on this podcast that have worked at 437.
Everybody has worked there, but I feel like aside from the founders, they hired like three people like originally, and I was one of those three.
Oh my God,
it's cool to see that kind
of
evolve.
One question that I always have for someone who comes on the podcast who has a schedule that rivals how busy Sarah often is, is like, you've just listed doing four or five jobs all at the same time.
Yeah.
How did you balance that?
Or did you?
Yeah.
You know what? I really did find a way to balance it all. And I think it was because it made sense to me for like, I mean, you know, like the quote, like eventually all the dots connect. I feel like looking back, it all makes sense. But I think I wanted to set myself up in certain areas before I took certain leaps. So when I was a flight attendant, I loved that I was able to travel everywhere. I was traveling for work. And then I was also able to take my passes and travel outside of work. Mm. That one was a really tough one to let go of. I mean, you go from it being like, you just have to pay for some weird airport taxes to being like, flights are like $2,000
when you realize
now,
how expensive they actually are. Especially your former employer, how specifically expensive they are.
Yes. And, but I think there was a lot of like, I don't want to say negatives. I loved that job while I was doing it. But I think my, for lack of a, I feel like my customer service ran out, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's a lot of negative people. And I feel like, you know, whenever I tell people that, they're so shocked. Like, they're like, people are rude. Like, they're like, I feel like I'm so friendly. And I'm like, I think that everybody genuinely thinks that. But it's like, you're excited when you get to the airport. And then you're excited when you get to your destination. But that in between is a really weird phase of like, everyone's tired and groggy. And like, I think a lot of people forget that. I think for most people, we're usually traveling for fun, but there's a ton of other reasons why people travel that are like not fun, or like, you know, for like funerals and like work travel's not always fun and a lot of other things. Not to say that that's an excuse for when people are terrible, but any sort of delay, flight attendant gets blamed for it. It's not the captain. It's not the airline.
You're kind of the only person that they're interacting
with. That they're getting
face to face.
Yeah. So, you know, like if we're delayed because the plane has a mechanical, they get on that flight 3 hours later and they're pissed at you. And I'm like, look, I would rather be down here with the plane getting fixed and up in the sky and realize there's a malfunction. Yeah. But I feel like you're the front facing for an airline in any capacity. So it just is like, if anything goes wrong, you're getting called out.
I feel
like
flying in general, and maybe just because I've been like traveling more over the past couple years, I've really noticed it. It's like people have such an individuality complex when they travel. Like people travel
as if they're the only person that has ever traveled. I know. And it's even in categories, it's like if you're not sitting beside your significant other, like everyone must move. Or like if you have a baby, like you are the first mother to ever fly. And it's just like, oh my God. Like, can we all just
especially if you deal with that every single day.
Every day. And not even like,
never be a flight attendant.
Not even like every day. It's like, it's like, I think it's the lack of like fresh oxygen, or it's like you're on a 12-hour flight to Europe and it's like, I can't even step outside to like take a deep breath.
That's
just like with the same, you know what? I used to serve like years ago and it was like, if you had a terrible table, you could pass it to someone else or go outside or tell your manager. Like there's no management in the sky. It's just you in charge.
Oh, that's so true.
And so it does just get, I feel like, anyways, so back to like lining a bunch of things up. It was like, I loved my passes. I didn't want to get rid of those. And then with SoulCycle, I like really loved my time at SoulCycle, which I feel like looking back and post pandemic, I know there's people that did not have the same experience when they made some, you know, shifts during the pandemic, like most companies did. But I had an amazing experience. I feel like I've never had a job that I will like forever speak so highly of like from start to finish. But what I was ready to part ways with when I did make that decision was I was teaching like 25 times a week when I was at SoulCycle, which is insane.
Okay, I was going to say, because one of my first, as a creator manager, one of my first clients was a SoulCycle instructor in New York, Jarrah Fosterfell.
The name sounds familiar. Like, wait, Jarrah, I actually do know her.
Oh, really?
Yes. I never like, but she was like famous for like, she did Training Twice or something.
Yes.
It was like something.
Yeah.
So she was before my time, but I like remember hearing about her.
So I started working with her just at the end of her first training that didn't happen. And then the next time. But she was saying the same thing, even back pre-pandemic. It was like, it is exhausting.
And it's not like other workouts where you can kind of like, you know, I look at some of, not to knock any other brand, but like some of these other things where you're kind of walking around the room. you're like on a podium with like 10 lights on you and you're doing the dance and you're yeah. also making it look effortless while it's like one of these. You're like, I'm talking, well, I'm dancing, I'm laughing, I'm jumping around and I'm teaching and I'm making sure everyone's safe. It's like a lot
and
of
And to be
things.
A good instructor, like as someone that enjoys spin, the best instructors are the one that like ride with you the whole time. Because there are spin instructors that like get off the bike and just do that and just walk around and stuff. Yeah. But then you're kind of like, why the hell am I putting this effort if they're not doing it
well,
as
you have
well?
To be,
like,
you know what? There's a difference. You have to be able to keep the energy if you get off the bike. Because I used to get off the bike because I was like, I'm teaching five classes today. I'm getting off the bike at some point.
But it's
point.
Like if you still bring like
energy with you have to be
and
able
you do
to bring
the same
the
thing with like your classes now. Like if you decide to like stop doing something, you're like doing a lap of the room to like hype everyone up.
Yeah.
But then that's part the other part of it too that maybe you didn't mention, but you did allude to at the beginning of the podcast was that you're not only teaching the class there, you also have to build up your personal brand to have people wanting to come to your classes in the first place, right?
Yeah. Is there like a like with I just don't know if about it. Like so you have it like build up your brand so people want to take your class.
Yeah.
Is there like incentives for you as instructors that like if you have more sold out classes, you get bonuses?
Yeah. So there was at SoulCycle, which was amazing. I feel like they did a really good job of like even just breaking like industry standard norms. I feel like a regular personal trainer or like an instructor at a gym makes like $40 to $50 a class, which is why you have to teach or take on so many classes. And I feel like SoulCycle really did compensate us a lot better than like the industry standards, which was great. And then there was an incentive that was like, if you, we had 65 bikes. So after 10 bikes, you would get like $1 for every bike that was full, which then would end up being like, you know, an extra $60 or $70 on top of your pay. And then if you did get 100% sold out, you got like another incentive of like another like $50, which like,
oh wow,
you would end up making like $250 a class. And you're like, all right, well, this is great. Yeah. But I think because they give you those incentives, it really pushes you to like, okay, how can I make sure people are coming back to my classes? And I always said this to new instructors that came after me. They would be like, oh, like I have the worst time slots. And I was like, look, when I started, I had all the weird times. I had like the 4:30s or like the 7:30s. You want to be on that sweet spot. And I remember building up those time slots. So then when it did come time to be like, okay, we're ready to give you the 6:30. I was like, oh, I love my like 5 o'clock because I'm done by 6 o'clock. Yeah. You know, I was like, no, I'll keep them. It's like if you have a time slot, you have to just work with that. And I feel like that's like building community, that's remembering people's names, that's, you know, learning what songs and styles and things that people like and being able to kind of cater to that, which also comes out so organically if it's like something you actually really love doing. So
because that's like what building community, all that was already happening at Soul. Do you think that's why it made it like so much easier for you to continue with Live Sweaty than also being a content creator as
100%. So eventually during the pandemic, when I first started Liver Beans, which is how it all started, it was, you know, we were locked in for 2 weeks, which was a joke at the
time. The biggest joke of all time.
Oh my God, 2 weeks? Yes. And I was just doing them on Instagram Live. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do we did a 7-minute arms in SoulCycle. So I was like, I'm going to do like a little mini series of just doing like an arms every single day for 2 weeks, which turned into like 3 months of doing it every single day straight.
Oh, wow.
And then everyone was like, I think you should do like a full workout. Like, would you ever do like a 45 minute class? And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, like, let's see, like, sure. And then that kind of took on from there. SoulCycle was still closed. Everything was on Zoom. So it was nice to kind of have like, you know, I was having like 300 people show up to these Zoom workouts, which was crazy. And then when SoulCycle opened, it was a really hard decision for me to make because I loved it so much, but I think I was ready to kind of see where this could take me. I remember actually when I did end up quitting, I'd gotten an opportunity to do a pretty big shoot in LA and I had asked for time off. And at the time, again, it was like, we were low on instructors. I was performing very well and they were like, we can't give you the time off. And there had been a couple other situations where I was kind of almost like punished is not the right word, but it was like a blessing and a curse doing well in the market. It was like, we want to send you to London to open the SoulCycle out there. And then it was like, oh, we can't take you out of this market though. So like maybe next time. And then it was like, there was a photo shoot opportunity in New York and they were like, we want you to go. And then it was like, but we can't take you out. So it became like this thing where I was like, I feel like I'm being held back by this thing that I love and I'm doing well at, but like what would happen if I didn't have this kind of holding me back? So originally I was planning, I quit. I put in my 2 weeks, which was like, I've never cried harder than my last 2 weeks at SoulCycle, which just speaks volumes of like the community that I built there. But yeah, I cried because it was also COVID. So we couldn't even have full rooms. So I did like 2 weeks of goodbye rides with like not even 50% capacity, but it was like,
it doesn't feel like the same energy. Of it was, like, you know what?
They brought the energy. We brought the energy. And I remember on my last day, I left and I had gotten so many like flowers and gifts, like gifts from my riders. I had to in my car and have an Uber for in my Uber because it was like, it wouldn't fit. Like, wow. It was insane. Like, I was like, I gotta quit jobs more often.
Like, this is what happened.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Whoa, okay. But yeah, then I left and they just didn't have any enough like name house instructors, and they actually ended up like leaving the Canadian market, which I sometimes I'm like, shit, maybe I should have stayed, because now I was like, you know, maybe I'll go back in a couple months after I went out to LA for like 4 months, and I was like, I'll go back maybe after and do like once or twice a week. But I think that it was good that that didn't happen, because it really forced me to like take a leap of faith and kind of trust what I was doing, which was what I needed, which is why
that's
we're here
where like the
now.
Pandemic, it was like obviously a horrendous, horrible thing that was miserable, terrible. But like I think it really like helped people reprioritize. 100%. And like, I mean, Zoom workouts were never a thing before, and now like you can still do a Zoom workout and people will still like pay money to do creates like a whole other standard. I mean, like for me, like I didn't create content for myself until the pandemic. Like I think it really for a lot of people gave them the opportunity to like go off on a different
path. Just get creative a little bit. I feel like it gave people, I don't want to call it spare time, but a little bit of you know, time to like do and try other things. And whether you were like fully off work or working part-time from home kind of thing, it really gave you like, also I have to fill my days. So how am I going to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Think outside
like,
the box.
You can think of like a new purpose and like 100%. A new path to go on as well. Have you ever done a spin class? You did the spin class that we did, but have you ever done one other than that?
Yeah, my friend Rich actually is doing the show. He's a spin instructor at Rise.
Really? Okay. Oh, Rise. Yeah. Wait, do I know him?
British guy.
British, maybe. I know the owner there. I used to take my soul cycle
Rise
class.
Rise is the one that's in Liberty Village.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I've done a few of those classes. Nice. But then I went the other way in the middle of the pandemic and ate the, or drank the Peloton Kool-Aid.
Oh, so,
drank the Peloton Kool-Aid. Yeah. It's not the same bike, though. It's not the same.
It's like different.
It's
different.
It's a very different experience.
You know what? They have to do that, because I know people are always like, it's one or the other. And I think it's, I mean, they have, if you teach spin and you understand the like safety and why you have to, you know, watch people's resistance, you're like, well, no, they can't put a bike like that in people's homes and expect that they're not going to blow their, like, you
and
have
like,
to
eat it.
Teach a different style to make it like safe at home.
Did you ever have anybody like completely eat it in a class, like go over the front of the handlebars? Oh my God, I'm so always terrified that was going to happen.
But I had someone, they like make you, like you learn. And again, I have nothing but like the most respect for the way that they like SoulCycle training. They send you for 3 months to New York and everyone's always like, what do they have you doing there for like that long? And you're like, then you leave and you see kind of some other in studios and other instructors that maybe don't have that long of a training, and it kind of makes sense. The like quality of like the way things kind of go. But I had somebody, and you know, she was on her bike, and I remember like, luckily she was like almost center, but she was back row. And she kind of like, I just saw her not pedaling anymore, which again, 65 bikes, you're really like, you have to scan the room like the whole time. But I watched her kind of sitting there for a second. And then I saw her like kind of look like she was going to fall. And I remember like, and this is also keep in mind while I'm teaching, I'm like, all right, guys, right, left, like, woo, yeah, Beyonce. And then I like just kind of shimmied to the back and I was like, are you good? And she was like, I'm feeling really faint. And I was like, okay, we're going to get you out of here. And then she like went limp. And I remember unclipping. I had to like unclip both her feet and pull her over the bike. And I got lucky that one of the guys that worked front desk was taking class. But at the time, he couldn't see because I was in the class. So, or sorry, in the back. But then as soon as I kind of brought her out front, he unclipped and scooped it. Like if you weren't front row, you would have never known that. So because I was literally like, let me unclip your feet. And then I was like, and one and two. And like, as soon as like my friend grabbed her and she was out, like someone was like, did someone fall off their bike? And I was like, don't you worry about it.
Don't you worry.
Like, don't you worry about anything. But it's,
I'm always
it's
watching.
Scary.
I got you. Oh
my
God.
Like, it's
never
a dark room. It's like everybody's sweating. You don't know people's like level in there if they're new, and not that you like, don't be discouraged if you're new, but like some people like get
take
just
it easy
like,
if you're
yeah,
new.
Take it probably. Easy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It is true. I guess that is maybe the one intimidating part about group fitness, I think, for a lot of people, is the fact that, like, and always was for me, like, you come into it, even if you're new, like, they'll ask, like, oh, is this first time rider, this or that, but any weird group sometimes fitness, even you say, feel weird. Yeah. And because, like, you could be going into a class that's, like, someone's 150th class and it's your first, and you're doing the same thing.
It's definitely intimidating in that regard. I think especially, like, people don't understand the rows and, you know, like front rows, people that are like, I'm going to get every beat. And, but I think, again, that goes with like creating a place where it's like, this is so-and-so's 500th ride, but they had a first ride and like, you know, everybody starts somewhere. So I think if you're able to create that like safe space, which I think is something that I like really like, that's like my favorite thing and favorite compliment is that people come and they're like, oh, I was nervous. Even with Zooms, you know, they're like, you just create such a welcoming environment for all levels. And I think that that's so important, especially in the fitness space where everybody, no matter what number class you're on, you're all coming in there in your like vulnerable states of like, okay, even if I have been a, like 500 times, like it's still, it's such an interesting thing, group fitness. You're like in a sports bra with like a bunch of strangers. Yeah, just like. True. Sweating your brains out. And I feel like if you can create a space that everybody feels like welcome, and if people feel like, you know, if someone's judgy, they would be like, this isn't my room. Like, I'm going to be over here with the caddy instructor.
How do you do that then? So like, what's your approach to make a class approachable for someone who's maybe new to fitness?
I think in terms of like, you know, typical things like modifications, always being able to offer, like, you know, if you're newer today or if you're not feeling like going X, Y, and Z, like giving different modifications. But I think truly it comes down to like the way that you're able to encourage people, and you're not like, you know, you're not singling people out. Like, there's definitely times where you can see someone has no resistance on it. It's taking that step of, instead of calling them out on the mic, maybe like shimmying through the aisle and being like, I'm going to put a little bit more resistance on for you. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want to single people out. And I think that also being able to be vulnerable in your own, being like, you know what, I'm going to take a seat on this one, gives that space where people can be like, okay, she's actually going to sit for this one too. So maybe I don't need to like go all out. And I think that comes in a lot of other ways too. And same with the way you show up at the studio and being able to, I think, have conversation with people. It takes away from being like this untouchable instructor to being like, okay, she's just like a real girly who's here, who wants to make sure I have a good sweat and a good time. And I think that that's how you can create like a comfortable space where people are like, okay, this is my first class, but like it was the girl at the front's first class one time too. And it makes it just a more welcoming environment, which makes it just more fun for everybody.
I know you have been like kind of on a journey where you've been like trying out all these different fitness classes in the city, trying to like fall in love with different things. Yeah. Have you found though that like it's actually harder to find that sense of like community, not even just community, but that sense of like that welcoming feeling? Yeah.
I think again too, it's a different world post-COVID. I think the fitness space really took a hit, and not because of community, but I mean, I think it just, things shifted, budgets shifted, you know, like a lot of things shifted internally. And then again, to the point of like people starting their own things and then going back to their studio and being like, you know, I think that there's just, it has been tough. I think it's also tougher where your money's going in 2023. Like, for sure. I remember coming back from SoulCycle training and going to work out again. And now I'm an instructor and I'm like, okay, wait, what am I kind of paying for at this class where I'm like, you know, I'm not being motivated, or I'm not even down to like amenities and stuff, you know, like,
true.
I think that post pandemic classes have gotten a lot more expensive. And sometimes I'm like, the front desk girl doesn't say hello and there's no shower, you know, and it's not even, I'm not even showering there, but I think it comes down sometimes to like principle and like the experience of it. Like I just like, you know, you walk in, I want someone to be like, hi, like nice. That's where it starts. Right. Yeah. And then, I just think it's tough finding a studio where you're like, I love the way I feel here. And again, not to like I love SoulCycle. They had a whole training for that. They had a whole like step-by-step thing. And I think that's also something that I try to have, you know, when I do the park workouts. I have 60 people come and I want everyone to know that they're getting a squeeze on the way in. You're getting a high five on the way out. And I think it's just like, I'm grateful that you're here and I hope to see you again. And I feel like when people feel that energy, that they remember that. They want to come back. And I think it's been tough in the city. I don't know. Do you find that with your workouts?
Yeah, well, it's why I think I've never become like obsessed with one type. Group fitness. I bounce around a lot. So like I'll go through like phases.
Yeah.
Went through a big spin phase, but then I like kind of fell off that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know. And do you know what? I was always envious of like in spin specifically.
Yeah.
I'm always like a little envious of like the front row crew that like they all like work for time at the studio. They all know everyone. Yeah. They know. And like I just always felt like, like I'd have to come here a lot to get to that point. I don't think you know, like I think that's a thing. I also think it's insane that like I'm paying sometimes $27 for a fitness class and I can't use a towel. Like,
well, that's just it. You know, and like I love Barry's, but I'm like, Barry's is like $40-something dollars now. By the time I pay for parking and get my like $18 smoothie after, it's like 7:45 in the morning. I've already spent $100. Like, what?
Exactly. And I think you're right though, in the sense of like, where are people's money going? Like, if they're paying for something. Now I think you're right. Like in 2023, where it's more expensive. People are more like, for a Pilates class for me, sometimes I'm laying there going like, yeah, it's great. I got the infrared and it like makes it better. Yes. But also I could just look up Pilates on YouTube and go down to the gym in my condo building and do the same workout.
Which is also tough because then you're like, okay, but now I'm in my gym with my Pilates.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. But that's when you were saying like, it's about like the person, the fitness, the experience of it. And I think
for me too, it comes back to motivation 100%. As well. Yeah. Is to be able to commit to something and know you're showing up with other people that's another reason.
Another motivating factor.
Yeah. I love I've always been a group fit. I've never been a gym girly.
I'm not really a gym girly either. I've always been. Yeah. I think it's team sport mentality though.
You're also someone who talks pretty openly on social media about your mental health, going to therapy and whatnot. Yeah. So to like,
we love therapy here. We bring it up on every week of the podcast.
Yeah, we're big promoters of therapy. So like, has that always been something that you focus on, the balance between physical health and mental health? Or
I wouldn't say in the past it was something that I wasn't talking about, but I think it kind of came hand in hand with like me going on my own like healing journey, if you will.
Yeah.
I've definitely always been a mental health advocate. I've always been, you know, for taking care of your whole body, mental and physical health. But I think it's been really nice to be able to candidly speak to actually putting in the work yourself. And I think, again, that's something where people are like, I love that you're sharing this. There's such a stigma around therapy. I think people think like, you know, something terrible must have happened. You know what I mean? And it's like, it really is so many different layers of like, communication and childhood. Like, it's the craziest things when you learn the little things that like, even I watched a podcast the other day that was talking about how waking up from a nap when you're like a literal four-year-old and your parent not being right there, not even like being absent, just like not being right there when you open, like that could be something that stems anxiety as an adult, you know, like it's really little things that I think everybody could really just benefit in bettering their communication skills, learning about why they handle situations the way that they do, under, like, you know what I mean? And then it goes deeper into like, a lot of people have real shit going on. And I think pulling away the veil of it being like, we're all living these perfect lives with these perfect families and these perfect childhoods, I think is something that should be spoken about more, because that's when you feel like maybe something's off with me, because, you know, and it's like, no, babe, everybody has stuff. And I think that the older I get, there's like so much beauty in that raw, real vulnerability of accepting kind of where you're at and what you want to change or patterns you want to change. And I think everybody can just benefit from that. And I think if I can be a space where people are like, she's doing it, maybe it isn't so crazy afterwards. Like, I love hearing people being like, I've gone to therapy because, you know, you talk about it. And now I started really thinking about X, Y, and Z. And like, now I have a therapist that I love, or I put together like a document a year ago, because a lot of people were asking for my therapist, which, not that I ever don't give mine out.
No, that's a little too close to home. Yeah, that's a little too close to home.
I can't have you being with my crazies being with your crazies.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I feel like I was like, you know, if somebody close to me asked for I would be like, here are the five that I actually first tried, because I always share this too. It takes a second to figure out.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I went to one, and I remember she was, one of my girlfriends suggested her to me, and she was a little bit older, and I felt like our you know, trial session, I was kind of explaining things where I was like,
I shouldn't have to explain,
I don't
want
to have to explain what like sliding into the DMs is. And I'm sure you're like a ton of knowledge, but I was like, I can't have you not understand what it's like to kind of like share your whole life on social media. And then I had another girl who, again, bless her, but she was just like a little too, I feel like I need a little bit more of a challenging approach. She was a little too soft-spoken. Mm. A little too, like, I was like, I need someone who's going to be like,
you know, a little emotionally. Like,
yeah, I'm like, let's go. Oh my God, bad word. Is that allowed on here?
You can swear. We're rated.
Sorry.
we explicit.
But I tried a couple. So at first I was kind of sending it to people like, here are the five. I'm not going to say which one was mine. And then mine has had a pretty long wait list when I got in with her too. But then I opened it up and said, like, if anyone has a therapist that they love, please drop it in this box because I have tons of people. And I got like over 200 people that put it in, and I mapped it out in alphabetical order, added phone numbers and emails, and put it in a little doc that lives on my Instagram.
Resource. Yeah, I was going to say, it's still available because that's such a good resource for people.
It's a good resource because you can Google and you get so lost, especially if, like, depending on what you're looking for. There's so many different kinds of like specified
therapists. And even like for people that are like, if you like have a job that gives you benefits, there's like difference between like psychotherapy and psychology, like the type of therapy that even qualifies.
Exactly. So it is still there. But I think it's just really important to open up that dialogue. And we're living in a time where I feel like a lot more people are talking about it. But I think if you can, again, be like, you're chatting with people and being candid about what you're going through, it's like, this is just as important as working out. And I think that people sometimes aren't able to see that they're really the same.
Well, and I think like it's the idea where I always get like with friends or whatever, they're like, oh, but like, when are you gonna stop? I go, well, like, when do people stop like working out? It's the same thing because I also am kind of the mentality of like, so I've been with a therapist for like a year and a half now. Yeah. My mentality is, nothing like horrendous is happening right now, but if something bad does happen, I want a person that already understands me and that's like
knows my history,
knows those things about me or knows how I react to things, or so I always have that. It's the same, it's like any muscle. And I also think like muscle, with you were explaining before, which is what I found so fascinating about it as well when I first started, is like learning how everything's connected and like,
oh my goodness, it's wild.
It's all childhood and everything. It does feel very similar to physical fitness in the sense of like, oh, if I do this workout, then this muscle gets more toned and you can see the result.
You can make it make sense. And I think that people, it's such an interesting thing. I was actually just talking with my boyfriend about this. Love you, Justin. But, you know, I feel like recently I've been like, we passed the year mark and we have great communication, but it's like, I'm always like, you should go to therapy. And I feel like sometimes people are like, I don't need to go. Like, what? I'm a little stressed out at work and, you know, my parents are maybe not together or something. And it's like, I feel like people don't realize how those things really do affect you and your capabilities of maybe like getting into a serious relationship or your views on marriage or like, you know, maybe you're working too much to make up for something that you don't want to deal with. Exactly. Right. And I think it's so tricky because you can't force someone to go to therapy, right? No. And I joked about this with my therapist because she was like, and we hate those clients too. They come in and they're like, my girlfriend made me come. I don't know what
that is. But it's like, I think it helps with all tools of communication at any level. I do the same.
Well, good, but you have to
want to do it. Like I was telling a girlfriend this recently. I remember when I was much younger, when I was like 18 and I was a server, and an older girl was talking about therapy and how she's on her healing journey. I remember kind of being like, yeah, girl.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, not, it wasn't until, I can't even say it was when I first started going. It has only been like in the last year now. I've been going for like a year and a half. So it was after the first 6 months where I was able to like see how I was also able to understand other people so much better.
I was the exact same way.
You know, be like, okay, you know what? I think that maybe she's going through this and we're going to just let her have it today. And just even having that grace other humans is like, if everybody just did that, we'd all just be living just so happily.
I feel like it helps you be able to like step back from a situation and look at it from like a wider lens.
Or just take it out of like, even in relationships. Like, you know, when my first push was that I got out of like a very toxic relationship. And I think that if I had had the tools that I have now, instead of, you know, we don't need to just keep going at this, and being able to be like, this isn't necessarily me thing, without placing blame on you, like we are just not working kind of thing. But that's in every relationship, friendships, work relationships. Like, I just think if everybody prioritized that as much as they do regular like physical health, then we'd be just in such a different state. As humans.
I know. I think it helps with all forms of connection and like listen. It makes you a better listener. Well, I learned how to be a listener from my therapist because I watch how she listens, and you kind of take that on.
Yeah, you alluded to this as well when we first started talking about this, but it's not really therapy is not really something to go and like solve a big life problem. Like maybe you did have this traumatic thing in
that's
childhood.
Like the push to do it.
And it can absolutely like help you unpack that one thing. But like you're saying, Sarah, as well, it's more of a way to step outside of that and get an extra perspective that's going to help you
in the long run.
In the long run with every and in every other aspect of your life, not just like feeling better about one situation, which I think is a common misconception.
Which I'd be curious if you feel the same way, because like the one thing that I appreciate about therapy, and like I matched with a therapist that was younger for the purpose of I needed someone that could like understand social media and all that stuff. It's really lovely having a space where that's someone that has no idea who you are and no preconceived notions of you.
It's literally insane. Like I always joke with mine, I'm like, do you ever creep my socials? And she's like, no. And I remember being like, so you have no idea what any of these crazy men I've told you would even look like?
That's why I couldn't be a therapist. Yeah, I'd be curious.
Like, I mean, she just so has curious. No, she's so unbothered. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess this really is kind of your day job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like their job to like be like
unbiased
and not know anything about you. And it's like such a safe space when so much of your life is online and like your livelihood comes from that. It's so wonderful having a space where it's like
separate,
you're like anonymous,
and they really do like, I know it's kind of like people will tease about this like, oh, like a therapist could just give you the answer, they don't need to make a year for you, like, you know what I mean, you made me come for a year when you knew this was gonna happen. But it they really do teach you how to realize and come to those conclusions on your own. And I remember like this was like a year and a half ago, but like when I was in a not great relationship and it being like, you know, she wasn't being like give it another go, but she wasn't being like no. And it was like, then you realize on your own, and then you're like, oh, that's what she was making me understand. Like, not just the
entire
like,
time.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a greater picture here that, like, you don't see right away. And then you're like, okay, now I actually have the tools to make those wise decisions.
Or when you do have a realization and they, like, pull out the notebooks, you're like, actually, on July of this year, the notebook
has
or,
too much.
Like, when you're saying
where are they storing those notebooks? Well, I need to know.
When I'm saying something and she starts writing, I'll let her go, why are you writing
like,
that?
Yeah, I was like, what is that?
What'd you just write down?
Like, what are you writing at this point? I know. I think also say though, is it truly is like, it's been, we've been roughly the same time. It's the best tool for like, if you're able, again, like therapy can be expensive.
It can be expensive.
You can afford it, even if it's only once a month, like whatever level it is. I think it's something that I think we'd all be better humans if we all just committed to it.
I think it's tricky too with like, you know, when people are like, it is so expensive. 100% it is. But then I'm like, babe, I just watched you go out for dinner three times this week. Make it two and you're good, you know? Like, or like,
that's true,
I see your fifth Barry's cloth this month. Or like, I feel like
another Aritzia. Oh, the new Aritzia collection again?
Yeah, like, I see your unboxing. No, I know. So I think, people sometimes just need to reprioritize
it a bit.
It's a good investment in yourself.
Like, it's that's the best other way investment. It really is.
It makes you a better
feel good
person.
Inside and out. I think that there, if people can like, I think a really cool thing about our generation is we really are focusing on like the longevity of our lives and overall well-being, even down to like, you know what I mean, like skincare and stuff, being more using more natural ingredients, all these things. I feel like as a generation, we're kind of really fixed and like focused on being better inside and out, which is like a really beautiful time to be a part of. Which is
it's so
cool.
Exciting. Is there anything exciting coming up for you, whether with just like social, whether with Christmas, whether with sweaty?
Yeah, tell us. You have to do it, both of you. LiveMiss, which is its third year doing LiveMiss. It is the 12 days of LiveMiss. It's a 12-day challenge. It's all online, which is awesome because I get to reach a ton of people. It kind of goes back to how we all started. And I think this time of year too, when it's like freezing outside, it's nice to be able to
absolutely
be like,
not want
to 7 a.m. I'm just rolling out my yoga mat. I haven't even brushed my teeth. I'm just doing the workout downstairs. But it's 12 days. There's 12 giveaways. It's really awesome. I work with all different brands that I work with over the last couple of years.
Fun.
They all donate an amazing gift, which is awesome. All of the gifts are roughly over $250 value. So really good gifts. And then we add a bunch of other guests into it. So I have a life coach, I have a holistic nutritionist, I have a chef, and we do, you know, we do a life coaching session, which is amazing. So there's 12 days of workouts. And then some of the days have double layered days where we have like a session with the life coach, we have a workbook, then we have another day with the nutritionist where we go through, you know, at the beginning, I get people to share what they want to learn more about, and she'll make a little whole 45-minute seminar about those things. And then we do a virtual cooking class with a chef, and she kind of goes through again all of the ingredients, why she chose them, why they're good for you, why, you know, the different ways to pair foods. And then $25 from every sign up goes to the Food Banks of Canada, which is kind of a nice full circle thing where liver beans started when we had no workout equipment and everyone was using beans at home, which is kind of funny how the name started. And now it's nice to be able to, right before the new year, I feel like it's, I mean, it starts the 5th, Monday the 5th or the 4th, whatever, Monday, yeah. First week of December. But I think it's a really hectic time, and that's why the workouts being online is also like, you can Lovely. Do it, you have the 12 days to do them. You don't have to do them at 7:30 every morning. You can do them, you know, throughout the day, but they're live, so they're fun if you do tune in live. And then, yeah, there's a giveaway at the end, and it's just like a wellness reset to close your year and then to get ready to get into the holidays and then to start.
I love the mentality of doing it right before the holidays.
Right before the chaos.
Yeah, before the chaos. And like, I feel like so many people, the second it hits December, they're like, I'm shutting down for the rest of the year. See me in 2024. Yeah. Like, that's when I'll become a better version. So I like the idea of like, let's finish the year strong.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's one in-person day, which is really fun as well. Oh, but you guys have exciting. To come do it.
I want to see Jacob struggle through one of your classes.
Please.
I'm in. I'm there.
You're coming.
I'll
You're
be
coming.
Front row.
He said it. He said it here, everybody. He He's coming. Here.
He'll do one. We do a Talking Fast Live class. Yeah. Oh, that rhymes.
We should. Let's talking do it. Fast Live class.
Let's do it. Catch us in summer 2024.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Landing Park.
I can't wait.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me,
I'm so
guys.
Happy this could finally happen.
Finally.
Do you want to shout yourself out? Tell everyone where they can find you.
Yes, guys, come check me out at Liv McElkinney, which I'm going to spell my last name since nobody knows how to spell it. LIV and then MCILKENNY. Or check out my website, livsweaty.com, for my workout schedules and all that fun stuff. There's always a ton of fun classes on the go. So very excited for all of that.
I love it. And you'll see all the adventures, because who knows where she'll be this winter.
Oh, girl,
winter.
You never know where
you
I'll
never
be.
Know. It's like I open Instagram. Yeah. Literally, I open Instagram and it's today? Like, oh, Liv's at the airport again. Wonder where she's going this time.
My most proud partnership was when Pearson International reached out. And I was like, there has never been a more on-brand partnership.
Ever.
Let's
ever. I love it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Talking Fast. We're here every single Wednesday. Like, comment, subscribe, thumbs up, review, good vibes only. And we will see you next
week. Good vibes only.
Bye.